that you are here. I will try and let you get out after worship quickly so that you can get to whatever restaurant you're going to. We're going to sing hymns in a minute and praise the Lord, but first, just to warm up our voices, do I see him here? Is Scott here yet? Not yet. Okay, well, we'll save that then. Be aware that there's envelopes in the pews for the Presbyterian offering, and it'll be there this Sunday and next if you want to do that. Also, there is an announcement. It's been in the bulletin for a couple of weeks about supporting Miles Ward. He sang in our choir for a number of years. Unfortunately, he got HIV, but through some life-saving medical intervention, he's doing great. And he's going to embark on a 545-mile bike ride with others to raise funds so that others could be supported. So look at that announcement if you have any interest at all in donating to that program. Like I said, I'm sure you're going to go out to eat today, but we do have some delicious Boy Scout chicken left over from their sale yesterday. So, after worship, we've got these big barbecue half chickens. And you can see, Ted, raise your hand. See Ted and see Bill Strinden after worship. Mike? All right, well, you gotta get with them. Get with them and y'all can chicken out. But there's plenty and you'll get it for a great price. And it's really, really good chicken, so make sure you do that. Also, for our Vacation Bible School, we could use a few shepherds, those that help lead the children from one station to the next. And so if you're available for that, make sure you call the church office or see Mary Leah Duran and let her know that you would be available to help. Also, tell people about VBS. We've got the flyers on that back table. You can take them to your neighbors if you'd like and let them know about that event. And, okay, and Scott Davis is here. And Scott, because you're being mentioned in worship, it's not because you're in trouble. It's because we want to sing happy birthday. Today is his birthday. Y'all help me sing happy birthday to Scott. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
And many more. And tomorrow's Martha. Then we're gonna go ahead and do yours, even though it's tomorrow. One more time for Martha. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
The whole choir singing that's pretty neat. Hey, if you will turn to those around you, welcome them with the peace of Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
Amen.
Oh God, we are all too glad to declare you Lord of our living.
You generously make your power available to your people.
Oh Christ, we are all too glad to declare you Lord of our living.
You graciously fill your people with love and service.
Oh Holy Spirit, we are all too glad to declare you Lord of our living.
By your wise companionship, your people never journey alone.
Praise be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who rules our lives in steadfast faithfulness. Let us pray. Lord, we come with joy because we know in witnessing the forgiveness and resurrection of Jesus Christ that you indeed can do exceedingly abundantly more than we hope, expect, or imagine. So our prayer this morning is you would greet us in this hour of worship, and despite whatever is going on in our lives, open us up to the new possibilities that you wish to place in our living. And thank you also that on this Mother's Day, we're reminded that your care and your love so often comes in the gift we call Mom. Be revealed as you fill us with your grace and you declare your promises once more so that we might believe in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's praise Jesus by singing Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. It's hymn 417. If you'll grab your hymnal, let's stand and sing Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
Hebrews informs us the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before God, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. But the good news is we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. With this in mind, let us pray together our prayer of confession in the bulletin. Merciful God and Shepherd of our lives, we confess once again we have erred and strayed. Ignoring your desire. Your truth and not believed in your power. We are so often lost. Find us and forgive our foolish pride. Bring your tender mercy. Return us to your paths of truth, love, and confident hope. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news that declares there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven and be at peace. And because of all that God has done to bring us this forgiveness, life eternal and peace forever, so that God could draw all people unto himself, let's respond to this good news with thanks and praise as we stand and sing together the Gloria Patri. Be seated. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus overturns the worldview that tells us it's best to get rather than give by saying to his disciples, "Freely you have received, freely give." And today, with those words, Jesus calls us to share God's blessing with others by becoming givers. Know that the gifts that we give in faith this morning will continue to enable us through Christ's body, the church, to bring healing and wholeness to this community and the whole world. May we give as generously as God has given to us.
We offer our gifts to you, Lord, with grateful, cheerful hearts. Thank you that you meet our needs on the journey, providing what we need when we need it. Trusting you, we can share what we have with others, and we do this joyfully together today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated unless you're one of our young people. If you're one of our young people, feel free to come on up here. We're going to do a game today. All right. That's in case we're fit to be tied. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you about the game we're going to do in just a minute. But for right now, I want to share with you something that Jesus said. And it was in the Gospel of John in chapter 10. Jesus is with his disciples. And one of the things that he tells them is he says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And he's talking like he's their shepherd. And he goes on to say, "I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Wow. Jesus says, you know, God has given you to me to shepherd. You're like my flock, my sheep. And you know what? No one can take you from my hand because I have the loving power of God in my hands. I can hold on to you forever. That means if something tough happens in your life, it still can't take you away from God's hold on you. It means if something scary happens in your life, guess what? It can't pull you away from God's great love because He won't let you go. But I want us to think about that for a minute. Which one of you thinks that if we do a game of tug of war, you can beat me? Does any of you here think you could beat me? How come you don't think you can? You think so? All right, I'll let Michael try first. All right, see the tape? If you pull this towel across the tape, you win. If I'm able to pull it across the tape, you win. Okay, so let's pick up the rope. Okay, you guys, that y'all can say 1, 2, 3, go. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Even though I was bigger than you, you won. You want to try it, Austin? Okay, Austin thinks he can take me. All right, pick it up, Austin. Pick it up, hold on tight. All right, y'all say 1, 2, 3, go. Golly, you guys are pretty strong. Wow. But you know what? God doesn't want you to rely on your own strength. He loves you with a strength that is even greater than your own. So we're going to illustrate. I'm going to ask Scott, Jamie, y'all come reinforce me here. Let's even the odds a little bit, okay? I might call Holden up in a minute too, but at least you two guys come. Okay. Who wants to take on me, Jamie, and Scott? Come on, none of y'all want to take on me? All of you? Do all of you want to do it? All right, okay. It's 4 against 3. Okay. And guys, we're going to... Okay. All right. All right. Congregation, you can say 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3, go.
Boy, they started before we said 3, go. Oh, we're going to get you. Oh, we won. Yay, we won. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, guys. Y'all had your vitamins. What do you think we won? Because we're big and strong. We had a lot of power. And even though y'all did a good job of pulling, we just had more strength. We had more power. So I want you to think about the Jesus story one last time. The people came to Jesus and they said, you know, who's going to be the one that saves us? And that's when Jesus said, I'm the shepherd and you're my sheep. And that's when he went on to say that I give eternal life and my sheep will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I beat you guys because I was given power that was greater than all. Jamie and Scott to help me. But you know what? No matter how tough, how hard, how scary life gets, it's never going to be able to pull you out of God's hands. And that's what you need to believe by faith. Do you think you can do that? Okay, good. Well, let's pray for that to happen. God, I thank you that you're with us right now and that you do indeed hold our lives in the palm of your hands. And I just pray that all of us would be able to trust that in faith, whether it be in good times or hard times. We know your love will not let us go. And thank you to Jesus Christ, who showed us that is indeed the case, who rose from the grave and announced victory to all. It's in his name we pray. Amen. One last thing. You know who holds on to your life and never lets go with love? A great example is your mother. One reason we are able to believe in God's love is he puts these incredible women in our lives called moms. So I want you to help me celebrate them right now. If you are a great-grandmother, would you please stand and remain standing? If you're a great-grandmother, we have a great-grandmother here. If you're a grandmother, would you please stand? If you're a mama, would you please stand? Okay, please remain standing. If you're what I call a mother in faith, you're one of those that's helped with vacation Bible school or Sunday school with the children of the church, you can stand too. And y'all remain standing, and here's what I need you guys to do. I think we've got plenty of flowers. Will you make sure each mama gets at least 2 flowers? Yeah. Can you what? Can you get your moms on your team? Oh, no, we'll do that later. Y'all give these to the ladies that are here. Take all of them and give them out to all those ladies that you see standing, okay? Give them at least 2. Lexi, you want to help out here? Okay, Lexi, if you'll give them out. Give them all away. I'm making a real good mess up here, aren't I? Okay. Give as many away as you can, okay? There you go. Give them away. And y'all, moms, if you even want another color, y'all can flag them down. We got plenty. We want y'all to know we appreciate it. Get to the back. We got moms in the back. Make sure we get to the back. Did we get all the choir people?
Yes.
Oh, y'all, we missed one up here. Ryan or Lexi, could you? We Miss June. Is there anybody else back there?
We forgot to. Yeah, to Austin.
Oh, go get it from your brother. Ryan, you got to share. You need to get one. Okay, show Lexi where to go.
Whoops. She dropped. She must have.
Anybody remaining? Janet, Jen, did they get over your way? Okay, we're good. Does anybody want any extra flowers? Okay, good deal. I do know that one reason I believe God loves me is because of the good mother he put in my life, and I know y'all do too. So if you will, and Ryan, when you're after church, y'all put the extras on the table in the lobby, okay? Shelly, if you'll just have them put the extras on the table in the lobby, that'd be fine. Thanks for helping, y'all. Thank you so much. We're done. Yeah, yes, you may. Yes, I was like, let's pray for our mothers. Let's bow our heads and thank God. Dear Father, this morning we do approach your throne on behalf of the mothers whom you've entrusted with the care of your most precious little ones. We thank you for creating each mom with a unique combination of gifts and talents. We thank you for the sacrifice of self that each mom gives for her children, for the late nights spent rocking a colicky infant, for the hands that are calloused from washing and wiping and scrubbing and mixing and baking and stirring and hugging and patting and disciplining and holding and writing and erasing and pouring. We offer our thanks. We thank you for the gift of time that moms give for their children, whether it's stay-at-home moms, working moms, or a combination of the two. We thank you for the flexibility of moms, for their seeming tirelessness, their perseverance, and their steadfast devotion. Our prayer today is that you would give each mom strength, that you'd help moms to see in every mundane task the eternal cosmic significance that you place on motherhood. Help moms to understand that the most radical and world-changing events might very well be happening right there in their own home. Lord, we pray also for single moms who must lean solely on you for the fathering of their children. And we thank you that your big arms are big enough to surround children who might not ever know their earthly father. We also pray for mothers who have never had the honor of bearing children, but whose nurturing extends to the many poor and needy who cross the threshold of their lives. We thank you for our mothers of faith who showed us the love of Christ. We ask you to be the daily bread of tired mothers. We ask you to be their living water. We ask you to be their source of spiritual and physical strength. And we pray that the same grace that flowed from father to son to us in salvation will flow from mothers to their children. Most of all, Lord, on this wonderful day in which we honor our mothers, may we love and cherish the special women who have borne us, who have nurtured us, and who have prayed for our well-being. May our hearts overflow with gratitude to you who formed and knitted each and every one of us in a mother's womb. For even you chose to come into this world by way of a mother's womb. So receive our prayers and thank you so much for our moms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will, let's now praise God with our singing. It's hymn 392. Take thou our minds, dear Lord. Let's stand and sing that together.
Familiar reading, which we will read responsibly, is from Psalm 23. It reminds us that we do have someone most qualified to be our shepherd. It is Jesus Christ, who has made his way through the valley of the shadow of death and come out on the other side. It is Christ who knows how to lead and is also able to bless us in any situation. So let us read this psalm responsively as we renew our faith in the Lord. Psalm 23 is found on page 501 of your pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
They sang, "He will raise you up," and that's exactly what Peter is going to do in the episode we read about in Acts. Dorcas is not just sick, she is dead. And Peter goes to her bedside and literally does a resurrection miracle. And so it shows that the resurrecting power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is also at work through his servants. Because Christ is alive and well, he can work that same power through those who believe, and that's what Peter does. But I couldn't help but think when I read this passage how many times I've been at the hospital praying for one of you or someone we know and hoping for an outcome like this one, and that doesn't seem to be the case. So although this passage does indeed let us know we need to believe and know God can do the impossible, I think it's also challenging us to take a closer look. And so we'll do that this morning. But first, let me open with a prayer. God, thank you that you're still speaking to our lives. Thank you that by your word, you're still making yourself known. Help us to apprehend you with eyes of faith and forever trust you to really, truly be the shepherd of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with this request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and he went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and he prayed. He turned to the body and he said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and he helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I think that this text gives us some clues about being elevated above the stresses of life. Gives us a clue about what it means to really arise and walk in newness of life. And at a glance, this story, this text is exactly what we want. An outer circle disciple of Jesus named Tabitha had become ill and died unexpectedly. And the apostle Peter arrives. He comes like Superman with the big S on his chest. And he raises Tabitha by bringing her back to life. His faith and the power of prayer made on the behalf of another unleashes the resurrection power of Christ. And many people, lo and behold, come to believe. And so the story ends happily ever after. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's how we want the stories to end. It would be so nice to have someone like Peter who would come and rescue us from our problems. But the text this morning reveals more than just a miracle of resuscitation. If we look closer, we see that we too can be lifted up and walk in newness of life by following the examples of the characters that are mentioned in this story. I'll begin with Peter, for I'm sure he had his own challenges, but the challenges he faced didn't stop him from seeking to reach out and help, heal, and bring someone back to life. If you read the prior verses, when Peter was called to revive Tabitha, he was literally healing a man in another city, a man that had been paralyzed for years. And he heals that man. And he could have claimed his good deed for the day or the week and explained, "Hey guys, I can't be everywhere all the time or be everything to everyone. I need some personal time." And you know, you couldn't blame him for that. Yet the text clarifies when Peter was asked to help Tabitha, he did not hesitate. He went, and it says, without delay. Peter must have received joy from lifting up others. I'd venture to say that all of us would be a great deal happier if we didn't dwell on our own problems. You see, when we dwell on our own problems, they often become much bigger than they are in reality. And as a result of dwelling on our problems, we don't have challenges. Our challenges end up having us. The best way to rise above this self-defeating behavior is to move our attention away from ourselves and onto others. For when we focus our attention upon others, we remove ourselves from our problems, and it gives us a new perspective. We discover that our problems are not as overwhelming as we first believed them to be. And it is in this discovery that we find strength, because we realize we can do more than just simply exist. We can make a difference in people's lives. Miss Thompson found her life. She was a teacher. She was a teacher who had a poor student in her class named Ted. Ted was very sloppy in appearance, and he was often expressionless. He seemed bored. All of his classmates did not hesitate to remind him of his eccentricities. And Miss Thompson did not either, as she took her red pen and placed X's beside his many wrong answers. But Miss Thompson did not fully appreciate the kind of world in which Ted was living. I mean, she had his records from prior years. In first grade, it said Ted shows promise with his work and attitude, but has a poor home situation. Second grade, it said Ted could do better. Mother seriously ill, receives little help at home. Third grade, it read, Ted is a good boy, but too serious. He is a slow learner. His mother died this year. Fourth grade, Ted is very slow, but well behaved. His father shows no interest whatsoever. Well, Christmas arrived, and the children piled beautifully wrapped gifts on Miss Thompson's desk, and Ted brought one too. It was wrapped in a brown paper sack, and it was held together with scotch tape. Miss Thompson opened each gift as the children were crowded around her to see what she had received. She got to Ted's brown paper bag, she opened it, and out fell a gaudy rhinestone bracelet. Half the stones in that bracelet were missing, and there was also a half-filled bottle of perfume. Some of the children began to snicker, but Miss Thompson wisely silenced them by splashing a droplet of the perfume on her wrist and having each child smell the sweet fragrance. And then she put the bracelet on and admired it. At the end of that day, after the other children had left, Ted came up to her desk and he said, "Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And the bracelet looks very pretty on you. I'm glad you like my gifts." As soon as Ted left the room, Miss Thompson began to cry. She asked God to forgive her and change her attitude. And the very next day, children were greeted by a new Miss Thompson, a teacher reformed and committed to loving each of her students, especially the slow ones, especially the Teds of the world. As a result of Miss Thompson's loving care, Ted began to show great improvement. And by the end of the year, he actually caught up with many of his classmates, and he even moved ahead of several. Well, time passed, and Miss Thompson heard nothing from Ted. And then one day, out of the blue, she received a letter. It said, "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know I will be graduating second in my class. Love, Ted." 4 years later, another note arrived. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Ted." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore Stollard, M.D. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come and sit where my mother would sit if she were still alive. You're the only family I have now. Dad died last year. Love, Ted." Good old Miss Thompson, she attended that wedding and she sat where Ted's mother would have sat. The love and generosity that she had shown that young man entitled her to such great honor. I share that with you because it's a true story, and it's amazing what can happen when a little love and encouragement is shared. It can literally elevate a life far beyond its potential. When we seek to bring God's powerful love to a person, never, ever underestimate what it can do. And so I need to ask, do you know anyone who is dead? They may still be breathing, but they have no life. Maybe hopes are vanished, dreams have died. Perhaps it's someone like Ted, a pet person who has been beaten and bruised by life and is only a kind word away from succeeding. Maybe it's someone like Tabitha, who's worked herself to death and all she needs is someone to watch her children for a little while so she can go get some rest. Maybe it's a neighbor who lives alone and doesn't receive any phone calls or visits anymore, and his or her life is as empty as his or her home. Maybe it's that youth in your neighborhood or school who gets bullied all the time. Maybe it's the discouraged employee who is only one compliment away from elevating his or her attitude and turning their performance around. Maybe it's your own spouse who just longs to hear those words, "I love you. You look nice today." Maybe it's a recent graduate who had really big dreams, but he or she was shot down by some cynic. But you know, it doesn't take much to bring them back to life. Just a little love and encouragement, a touch of generosity and prayer will do fine. So think of one person you could love this week. I would imagine today that's probably pretty easy to answer. Think of one person you could encourage this week. One person you could take to lunch and really listen to them because no one else does. One person you could write a note to and tell them how wonderful you know they are. One person you could encourage with words such as Peter's, "Get up. I want you to know you're worth something to me and you're worth everything to God." Think of a person to whom you can represent Christ and His resurrecting, uplifting love. Point is whoever and wherever those people are, let them see and hear the love of God reflected in you. That's what Peter did not hesitate to do. Years ago, a new breed of horses was tested in Canada. Researchers discovered one horse could pull an almost 8-ton load. And when they teamed two horses together, they anticipated the horses would pull 16 or 18 tons. To their great surprise, the team pulled almost 30 tons. That's because of a principle called synergism. The law of synergism states that two or more objects working together can produce a greater effect than the objects working independently of each other. I think that's what we have in our text this morning. It reveals to us the law of synergism, which is how God planned for human beings to live. You see, everybody in the text is helping one another. The disciples call for help. The widows show their love and appreciation for Tabitha as they present the tunics that she had made for them. Peter arrives, and with loving, healing hands, he revives her. And then Tabitha returns to her work of charity with greater passion and love than ever before. Peter receives hospitality from a leather worker named Simon, and he stays and he rests there for a little while. Soon he leaves in order to help the next person in need. The people in the text, though, are all working together, helping each other. It's a beautiful picture of the way life ought to be. It's the way or a picture of how our community should be. This is the picture of how the church should be. And this is the true picture of the way God created the world to be. Y'all may know this, but a few years ago, an unusual event occurred at the Special Olympics in Seattle. 9 mentally and physically challenged Olympians assembled at the starting line of the 400-meter race. The gun went off and the kids started running as hard and as fast as they could. And about halfway through the race, one boy stumbled, he fell, and he hurt his knee, and he started to cry. Well, the other 8 runners either knew that he stumbled and fell, some of them heard his cry. And one by one, they all stopped running the race, and they went back to that child. They helped him up, and then simultaneously, they all hugged him. They then joined arms, and they ran the race together. And it was humorous at that point because the judges didn't know who to declare a winner. So they decided to give everybody the gold medal. For truly, they were all winners. Imagine what we would accomplish if we were willing to always take the love and presence of Christ to uplift one another. Imagine the lives which would be changed if every member of the church was willing to allow the love of God to flow through them in order to bring the dead to life once more. Imagine how different the world would be if we became concerned not about winning the race, but helping others to finish it. Imagine. Just imagine how it feels to run hand in hand toward the finish line, knowing that no one is left behind. That would be the real miracle. Amen. And because God calls us all to trust and believe in Him by faith, Let's respond in faith by declaring what we believe. Let's do that using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us go to God with our prayers. God, as we come to you this morning, help us move beyond the sampler prayer so often printed on pillows and hanging on walls that reads, "The Lord is my shepherd." Help us to understand what those words truly mean. Help us to believe, to trust that we can count on you. You're the one that holds our lives, that guides our steps, that comforts and even sustains us. You want for us the lush greenness of verdant pastures and the alluring draw of still waters. Yet you know that our lives will not always be smooth. There will be rough times. But help us to trust that we can count on you, Lord. Help us to feel the power of the psalmist's words that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So nothing can trouble, nothing can threaten. It's you that are with us. And as we reach out in love and in service to others, remind us that the work that we do in your name with love and compassion is an echo of your tender mercy and loving care. Strengthen us and give us enthusiasm to follow the shepherd all the days of our lives as we invite others to join us. Be the shepherd of our moms and our families, of our homes and our neighborhoods. Be the shepherd of our lives individually, so that following in your footsteps, we might discover the adventure of faith. Until that great and glorious day when you lead us home to our eternal rest, where we see clearly and perfectly that we are forever held by your love. So be with those in our church today, like Wanda and like Cy, like Elsie, like so many others, Louise, heal them and help them, shepherd them through their times. Let us be your prayers and your care as we go to them. Continue to unleash your power through our prayers and through our work as we seek to be your church in the world today. And accept us and receive us with great welcome as we come to you praying the way in which Jesus taught us by saying together, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and glory forever. Amen." We'll go out singing "In the Cross of Christ I Glory." It's hymn 84, but let's sing the first and last verse, verse 1 and verse 4 of hymn 84. Just walk over to the kitchen and you can make a deal. If we have any left over, you can come by tomorrow too and get some. We'll be glad to make a deal. Yeah, so this is, you'll raise your hand for you graduates. Raise your hand so they can see you. There you are. Okay, all right. Now, yes, thank you very much. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.